to the Game Grooves Uncovered podcast. I'm your host, Ro Panaganti, and today I am so excited to introduce Alpha Something, the composer behind the indie game Venba. Many of you may have seen in the buzz of just video games and indie games in general that this exciting game is taking place with an immigrant story, and a lot of the music pertains to South India, and of course it's a cooking game as well, where immigrants share their experience growing up and the challenges of leaving their home, but keeping culture together through cooking, you know, so many things that I very much love. And Alpha Something is here with me to talk about their score and how they approached, you know, working on this. So thank you so much for for coming on.
Hello, hello. Happy to be here.
One of the first things I've got to ask, of course, is how did you get involved with Venba?
So I've worked with Abhi from his, I think, first game. So it was almost, I've seen him grow as a game developer and all that. So I,
wow.
It was pretty easy. It was a pretty easy choice to go for Venba. I think it was almost obvious that I would be scoring for Venba. But we were talking about the game even before, you know, the need for a score and all that, and just discussing how would music play a part. Like, would it be just like a background score? Would it have songs? You know, we're both excited about like Tamil music and movies and all that. So we're all like, oh, wouldn't it be awesome if it just had a song? You know, like there's an intro song and there's like this dream duet and all that. So we were just like, what would happen? Is there like a dream sequence between, you know, like Venba and Pavlin? And all kinds of just like fun, you know, ideas, because it's just an idea, and then we'll see what interests us, right? So I remember discussing all that from like the conception of the game, and then when it came time for the music, it was pretty, you know, like interesting. It just to start off with like, Will it just be background scores? Will it just be like instrumentals and all that? Right. And then we were like, oh, how about we have an in-game radio? And so that's kind of how the whole thing happened.
Wow. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and plug the game early on, because I know I'm going to want to spoil a little bit of the story. And it's a lovely game. You will finish it. So already, listeners, please check out Venba. And I'm going to get into a little bit of spoilers of the game. And as you've already kind of alluded to, the game has a beautiful score, but it also features, I think I'm using this word right, diegetic music, because much of the music, and especially a lot of the songs that are my favorites, are sung on the in-game radio as the player gets to cook with the titular Venba or different characters. A lot of that music, and you know, for my background, I'm second generation. I was born in America. My parents are from Andhra Pradesh, so I'm used to Telugu movies and music, which is, for those listening who aren't familiar, another branch of the South Indian, you know, mapping. And the music style, like when we just talk about like Nidane, that takes me back to like watching real old movies, you know. And
that's right. The 70s and 80s, right? Like starting off with, that's when color films were kind of the cutting edge of Indian film. So that's the kind of vibe we were going for.
It's incredible to see. And actually, a fun fact, my mom's aunt's aunt, she was actually a Telugu movie star for a long time. So and when I watched a lot of like those songs that would come up on like our equivalent of MTV, you know, it had like a lot of the same characteristics. And growing up, I didn't know like how formalized Indian music could be or how to work with it. So how did you find, you know, the tools to write music that hits like very close to this?
I guess the tools were just lying around me as I was growing up my entire life, because that's the music I grew up listening. And I've always, you know, different composers, different times, right? Like, I think when I was a kid, I was mostly exposed to whatever was top 40, which was in India. Growing up in India, that's always film music, right?
Right.
There is a very small indie scene, which is mostly unnoticed. And, you know, like, it's a very niche kind of like culture to listen to indie Indian songs, which I think that's changing. But when I was growing up, it's all film music, right? That's what plays on the radio, plays on the TV, plays at weddings, everything. Everyone covers it. Everyone sings it. Yeah. You have games where you have to sing a song that begins in the last word that the other player left off. I'm sure every Indian kid has played it, right?
Family gathering games, you're right.
Exactly, right? So that's kind of what I grew up with. So if I had to make music that just sounded normal to me, like, that's what it would be, right? I think the challenge really was just going back in time and being like, how to make music that sounds old, right? And then write words and lyrics that sound outdated almost, right?
So one thing I know from like Telugu music and even from like Bollywood and Hindi, which I do not speak either of these languages very well. I am horribly second gen in that regard, but It's very poetic often in ways that I don't think, like, even in like English and American music, like, our equivalent of poetic is so vastly different. And I had to like translate Nidane. So what was that like, you know, writing from the perspective of like a movie that doesn't exist?
That was actually a lot of fun because we just kept kind of when I was having these discussions with Abhi on how do we just make a song that plays on the radio? Like, it's got to belong to a movie, and then that movie's got to be about something, and then something needs to happen where cue this song, right? And then that's how it gets to the radio. So we were like, if we just go about like, oh, what do I want to sing about type of thing, that may not work for the vibe, but let's just, you know, like, do it almost like method acting. Like, let's come up with a movie that would have existed in the 80s, and then who would have made it, right? Like, this popular guy who made a lot of movies. So, like, you know, like, what kind of song would take place in it, and then what would be the situation, right? And then and then now we almost have a story to write a song for, right? And that was a really fun creative experience, just coming up with that kind of background story and then writing a song for it.
I love that. And again, like, for people who, again, please play Venma, but the fact that it takes place in different stages of, you know, time, that means you have like this old age, and then all of a sudden we have 90s, and the movies I've seen from the 90s are largely all, you know, the popular Bollywood movies and Mohabbatein and like, the 2000s. And they still have like this very distinguished kind of sound. One thing I do like diving deep here, but I'm going to be careful not to get too in the weeds, is like instrument wise, I've always found that, you know, Indian cinematic music, and this is something I'm trying to personally like work on myself, is it's broad. There's not one sound, of course, but it seems like Indian instruments are meshing with Western kind of ideals in a way that's just very unique.
That's really interesting that you bring that up, because I find that it's always been kind of whatever culture was brought into India, Indian music just kind of assimilated that into our own culture, right? So right now, even if you look at, you know, the oldest song or the song that's set in the oldest year in Venma will have like this amazing, you know, like it's a string section, and it'll have like symphony music, because that's what was super popular in film, right? But it won't sound like anything, any symphony you've heard anywhere else. It would be very, very like Indianized, and it would be original, right? It's almost like an Indian composer just finding all these instruments and figuring out what to do with them from scratch. So that kind of idea, I think it's happened over the years, for all kinds of like string instruments. Even the violin is so popular right now in Carnatic music, right? But that was also an import from the West. But right now, like, the way Indian musicians play the violin is so different from the way you hear Western music on the violin.
That's actually, and again, I'm going to go diving into the weeds. One of the things that fascinates me is, like, the nuances that make Indian music you know, even in this kind of like special fused sound, like violin players, or in my case, I've looked up like Carnatic guitar players from India who are taking, you know, like mains from sitar and putting it into guitar. And like, they're, you know, the way I see it is like they're fighting to make sure that this feels like it, you know, it respects like all of these different sounds while, you know, staying true to their artistic style. But is that something like you could write in standard sheet music? Because you have dozens of like live players on this soundtrack that are, you know, doing killer jobs. And I'm curious what it was like to outsource, knowing, you know, today, if I want to get someone to play like flute or a Western traditional instrument, I write sheets and it feels very easy to find someone. So like, what was that like working with these other kind of instruments and instrumentalists?
It was amazing, actually. I never thought about it that way. I kind of just went song by song and outsourced whichever parts I felt like needed like the touch of a live instrument, right? And so, of course, for the string players, it's all sheet music. Again, like the guy, Ilayaraja, right? The composer that we're kind of trying to pay homage to. He was famous for composing all his songs directly on paper without ever playing it, right? Like he would go on set and then it would be in the middle of a recording session. He would have forgotten that he's scoring a specific film, and he would just like take a piece of paper and pen and just like write down the score, and that's the song, right? And these are like amazing hits that, you know, everyone knows about and all that. So, you know, if he wrote those like that, then imagine the body of his work, right? So I don't think I've ever made music that's not, that's outside of like notation. Maybe I should. Like, I think that sounds amazing as an experience. Just like kind of.
No, you're speaking to a guitar player, so that's the
exactly. Just like have, you know, stand around in a room of musicians and just like come up with a song, right? Just feel it out, play it by ear completely. But no, like most of this is very standardized, and like I have notation for all of it to give to the respective players. I think there's one song that Chellakutty song. That's the one where I just gave kind of the one line that I played to the guy who plays the dolak, and he just like came up with the entire percussion kind of section, right? So there was just an entire jam of recordings that he gave me, and I just like, my only job was to like pick and choose the ones that worked best.
I have to define again, because our audience, so dolak, if you'd like to kind of define what kind of what it sounds like.
And yes, a dolak is, I don't know how to define it. I think it's very much like a tabla that most people have heard, but it's a South Indian version of it, right? So, and it's very upbeat. And, you know, you can very, that's kind of the sign of a fast song if you have dolaks on it.
And I remember when Chellakutty comes on, I'm like, I'm pretty sure both my wife and I, we played the game in one shot on stream, and we both stopped and we just started dancing. We were like, this is such a fun song. And there's a lot of songs that gave that same kind of energy too. But I really enjoyed Chellakutty a lot. And like to that point, of course, you mentioned a dolak player. Was there any actual like plugins or like sample libraries for, you know, Indian instruments that you had to take advantage of, or was everything able to kind of be performed?
All the Indian instruments, I think, were live this time around. I'm sure there were, because I don't really, I guess at least personally, like I haven't found the hang of gotten the hang of like using VSTs like that for Indian instruments. I think I can do that much easier with just a regular kind of symphony set. But for Indian instruments, I almost just like prefer the live sound, and like I'll come up with it. I'll come up with kind of the idea of what it needs to sound like with using a synth or something. And then I'll just give it to someone to play.
No, I like that. I think a lot of composers feel the same. And as someone who's struggling to teach myself sitar, but then I have the plugins before and I compare, it really is the same thing where the performance is really, really unique.
Right.
And I have a few, like I have a whole section of questions that I want to go through about like that nuance. But while staying in the sort of vicinity of Venba, of course, I'm new to Tamil music because, of course, I grew up Telugu and I don't know all the beautiful nuances. I have a few Tamil friends who were also excited about Venba and kind of like we had this beautiful crossover of like, oh, you call it that. Like we call it this and all. Is there anything unique, especially because we're in a Western audience and my perspective being an American second gen is that Indian music right now that reaches here has almost exclusively been through like Bollywood parodies or like, you know, sometimes nonetheless, just Bollywood in general, Northern Indian tradition, you know, things that have kind of crossed over and not necessarily reached South Indian, you know, culture, let alone the food, of course, of Venba. And I'm sure this may have happened to you as well as Venba released. Like people are finally knowing what an idli is, dosas, and what the bums and so on. But what aspects of like Tamil music, especially, do you think like distinguish it? Especially,
I think Tamil music. I've almost never heard any kind of like folk representation in Hindi music. I think they're may have been cases, right? But I find that Tamil music is a lot more connected to its folk folk roots, right? It also has like Carnatic influences, and of course like all music is always influenced by like this global kind of wave of what's popular around the world, right? But I think Tamil music is always kind of, I would say, you know, like it's much more connected to its folk roots, and that way it's always trying to make a remix of, if there's EDM and you listen to like a Hindi EDM song, it'll sound like EDM, right? You can just kind of play it in a club in Berlin if you wanted, right? And it would just sound the same with the words just being in Hindi. But if you listen to Tamil EDM, like that sounds so out of place everywhere else, but it is EDM, right? Like it has a whole different beat to it, but we've just kind of figured out how to do Tamil folk EDM, right? So that kind of stuff, I think I find very interesting in that, like whatever genre like is born and reaches the world, the rest of the world, when it hits Tamil or South India in general, it gets localized to such an extent that we now own it, right?
It's really nice when you find that. And I think that's probably the best segue I'm going to have into like one of the things that, again, makes me so passionate about, like, but I was probably talking about Venba in every game conversation I could for the last, like, however many years since the first trailer, because I was like, I have never gotten to see Indian music and of like almost any kind represented in gaming. So like, start with that. Let alone like the passion of like seeing it kind of cross over. You have multiple ages, and you know, like we talked about earlier, like from Nidane all the way to when you're in the very final segments of the game, I feel like there's still consistency because of like the stylizations. But when it comes to like the representation angle of this whole thing is, you know, Indian instrumentation I've not seen in games, or if I have, you know, whatever equivalent of it is, it doesn't always come across as authentic or I'm trying to think of the word that's like both like nuanced, like I hear things that can't actually be played on like sitars punched in on a keyboard kind of things. Right. And I'm curious how you find like Venba gets to sit in, you know, in history, if I want to get like that dramatic about it, but like as one of the first games to feature, you know, video game music in the mainstream or Indian stylized music in the mainstream so authentically and like to this level of like dedication.
It's really, you know, like I'm really happy that we got to do that. But I think it's almost inevitable in 2023 that a game like this shows up, you know. I'm really happy and proud that we were the ones that got around to doing it. But I think, you know, given enough time, I think there's that we're at that point in culture where it's just a matter of time, right? Actually, it was the idea that we were the ones doing it first also added a bunch of sort of an exciting burden, right?
Sure.
Because we're doing it, and so we can't just like phone it in. We can't just go with whatever genres we like. We have to make it somewhat representative, and it's almost the same conundrum that Abhi must have had when he had to filter what dishes he's going to feature.
Oh my god!
Because because you're filtering, because you don't want to not include any of them, right? All of them are amazing. And so it was similar with the music, and we're like, oh, which ones do we leave? Which one? But I want to make this, and I want to make this. I want to show them this, right? And all that was such a fun experience, just kind of traversing the entire body of work that we had attempted to represent, and then realizing that we're not going to be able to do all of it for sure. So let's just do a good job of whichever ones we do end up choosing, right?
I can only imagine the conversations you've had, I guess, during development and composing and, of course, release. Because, again, like you said, you can't do it all. But what you did with Venba is very special, at least especially to me, because now I finally feel like the bridge between, you know, video games and, you know, heritage that's shared in many different capacities is kind of created. Was there any kind of like misnomers about like Indian music that you feel like Venba was like a cool chance to, you know, educate on, or, you know, like?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Because when we speak about the music of Venba, we always make it clear that it's, you know, Tamil music. And that way it's not bunched under Indian music or just like Bollywood, right? Like, we've never used the word Bollywood in Venba, right? So, and exactly. And so it's, I think, just the lack of that itself. And because this game has gone and reached so many people and they're all hearing that it's Tamil music, they'll be able to grasp that that's a different thing from Bollywood, right? Like, when something else is categorized as Bollywood, they'll know that what they heard in Venba is, it sounds, you know, similar in some ways, but it's not exactly the same.
I found, the smash hit movie RRR was a Telugu movie. And for the very first time, you know, I saw people talking about an Indian film at all, let alone one from, you know, Telugu. Of course, Netflix only had the Hindi dub. So I have a lot of people who are excited about this, and they're talking to me, Ro, have you heard of RRR? And I'm like, yeah, it's, you know, it's like 3 hours of action, and it's great. It's actually, and they're like, yeah, I've not watched a Bollywood movie before. And I was like, haha, it's... And you get that first chance to be like, this is actually pretty darn specifically like to, you know, and then, you know, when I'm watching it as someone who like knows Kunchum Telugu, I'm like, I can kind of tell the distinguished, you know, the words. And, you know, when I worked on Nidane, even I was like, these words are so different, yet not that different. But, you know, like there's still like these different bridges. So everything does have like, you know, a unique flavor and subculture, and that's still incredible. I mean, for all we know, there could be another studio that makes, you know, gets inspired to make a game about a completely different section of you know, Indian culture, and they would have
absolutely. I think that's the best thing. That's how you really show the true diversity, right? Because one person, if the diversity that we have in India is showcaseable in just like one film or one song or one album, then it won't really be much diversity at all, right? I think it should just like come from those folks who are immersed in those cultures, and then if enough people tell their stories, I think it'll paint a good picture of kind of the life that that we're trying to show here.
That's beautiful. The last thing I want to talk about specific to like the Venba score, of course, is which of the tracks do you think was your favorite to compose?
I'll
plug this again at the end, the score, the full score with a lot of beautiful moments that you'll remember from the game, if not, is now available on Bandcamp, as well as the initial soundtrack launch with all of the radio songs. which I was just listening to today. But sorry, go ahead.
Thank you for that. I think the most interesting one to compose was Tulladadi Valasu, the one that plays with the six recipes in them. So that song plays on a level where that has six different recipes being cooked. And so each verse of that song actually is the recipe for the level that the player is on. So that was a challenge in itself, and kind of making that into a song was even more, was double challenging.
That's definitely, I mean, they're all so catchy, but the Lulati Valsu is definitely, definitely one of the remarkable ones, but also that sequence is so emotional. If you've ever like tried to prepare big time for family coming over in any capacity, let alone cooking, which I love to cook. So that whole sequence was just like, this is just reminding me of like Thanksgiving, and you're like scrambling to like put things together, or parents are visiting, and I'm like, okay, I've got to like prove something.
That's absolutely true. It's just that the idea of cooking for someone else, right? Like not only just making a big spread, but it is, you're making it for someone else who you're kind of expecting at home. So it's not just like everyone's home and you're cooking for them, but it's almost a surprise that you're preparing for someone else, right? So the idea of there being a reveal and all that, like, gives that extra kind of excitement that adds on to the cooking, and you're trying to get through a whole like list of stuff as you do in the game.
The song itself like has so much of that like heart pacing, almost like excitement moment.
The song actually gets faster as it goes, just to build that up. And the idea was that, you know, like there's contrast in that level in terms of how the story goes. So the song just had to be super exciting and super fun.
It's really cool that the diversity of like the levels and the food and the kinds of foods, like each meal does have its own kind of meaning. At least like growing up, idli was like Sunday morning, you know, wake up, watch Pokemon, and mom makes idlis. And we used to dip ours in ketchup. So I, I feel like that should be a shared experience, but I feel embarrassed now. I'm like, we used to eat it coursing with sugar.
That's the best thing about idlis. You can do whatever you want with them. I mean, idlis with sugar, like, I think, I don't think anyone really grew up without eating that. Like, that's such a cultural thing, because idlis are famously had with the chili powder, right?
Like
that you just kind of drench them in. And so of course that's a very, you know, like, you have to have a tolerance to that spice before you can have that. So the replacement for that would just be like idlis with ghee and sugar instead of the chili powder and oil. And so that would be the kind of the baby version of it, which I don't think I'm still grown out of.
I mean, it's a feel good meal. My wife, she's of course Caucasian, and like we've had this fun introduction of culture for her from like the moment we started dating, and she didn't get to grow up eating a lot of Indian food, so I was kind of like, well, I've taken it for granted. And her description of idlis are pillows you can eat, and I was like,
absolutely,
it's perfect. And like, you know, moving on, like each different meal, you know, it kind of served a different purpose. And I do want to transition to food now, because I'm thinking about it. But we have a question from Dona, and this is the most obvious one, is what are some of your favorite Indian dishes to eat?
Oh, man. There used to be like a period of 6 months where every single day I would only have one dish, and that was like a tandoori chicken. Wow. So I would eat like half a tandoori chicken. Every day, and just like half a tandoori chicken. So that's half a chicken, right? Like that's a leg and a breast. And just served over like what I can only call like a mountain of ghee rice.
Wow.
Just to kind of go with it.
This sounds amazing. It's the best meal.
Honestly, like everyone should go on that diet if they like tandoori chicken. Just do half a tandoori chicken over a mountain of rice, and don't eat anything else.
Were you cooking this or like picking it up?
No, I had it outside.
Okay. I was gonna say
one of my favorite street restaurants.
Wow. I mean, I'm also jealous that you have a street restaurant that's serving good tandoori chicken. But when I was a kid, that was my like favorite like treat meal if we go out, and that is my favorite Indian dish, at least non-veg Indian dish. Growing up South Indian, for listeners who may not know, like it's very common to be in a vegetarian household. So I was actually very surprised, if not very impressed, that like Vemba features a ton of both. I'd never seen like, I think there was beef involved, which of course is very surprising to me. And, you know, I called my mom. I was like, yeah, I was playing Vemba. I was surprised. Like there's like beef and stuff. Like I know that's part of Pakistani cuisine, and, you know, India's of course changed, but again, there's everything.
That's right. That's actually an interesting observation, right? Like I think a lot of people, especially immigrants to North America, tend to come from the same kind of bubble or kind of socioeconomic condition in India, right? And so they usually tend to be upper caste. And that means that a lot of those folks are the ones that don't eat beef or don't eat meat, right? And not most of them, but a lot of them, right? And there's especially the castes that are very kind of orthodox about eating meat are the ones that end up mostly in North America. I think just statistically,
that's how it's been
so far, right? And so that's the culture they bring and kind of the representation that they've kind of had over the last, I don't know, 20 years, 30 years, has been that, Indian people are mostly vegetarian, right? And especially beef, like they don't eat beef at all, right? But that's not the case at all. I think, especially in Tamil Nadu, the state that Vemba is supposed to be from, I believe it's like something like 95% of people eat meat and about like 70% of those eat beef, right? And I believe South India, more than the North, is much more lax on beef consumption. And actually, it is such a part of a Tamil culture that I think Tamil Nadu and Kerala were the two states that just said no to when they tried a national beef ban in India, right? States just said, no, we're not doing that. And I think even now they're not able to fully ban beef. So I think they've kind of made it to cows versus buffaloes or some kind of distinction to what counts as beef or not beef. But at the end of the day, it's all beef, right?
Wow. No, it's fascinating to me. And I eat everything. So like I'm interested as someone who would want to, you know, give these things a try. And I saw like bone marrow dosa and I was like, what like I'd only found out about these things before, and that's why like now when I play through Vemba and I see like this is what is that, beef biryani that you make, and I'm like, okay, I've seen beef biryani in like Pakistani like cuisines and all, so you know why not? And I mean, it just sounds delicious, but it's like a new aspect of India is like unlocked for me for dishes,
right? Absolutely. Yeah, and South India is the place to go if you want good beef dishes, because again, that's a cultural thing for them. So they've been doing it for like thousands of years.
Wow. I mean, getting to the favorite Indian dishes, like for South India, traditionally my favorite has been a huge hot crispy dosa.
Nice.
And like that's like some, it's also a breakfast item, I guess, growing up for some reason. Yeah. But you know, we go out, we eat them, and yeah,
absolutely. That's actually one of my favorites too. It's called the paper roast, right? Yeah. Where it's paper thin dosa that's usually pretty huge because it's a lot of batter. It's you know, I mean, I want to say it's about 3 feet on the table.
Yeah, like, they say it's like supposed to be like a newspaper.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So that's kind of the like, when you get that in restaurants and they bring it to you to the table, everyone looks right. And that aspect of it was so catchy for me as a child that I would only get paper roasts when I went to restaurants. And it would just be an amazing thing because people would be following it to see what table it's going to.
Yeah.
And it'll end up on the table of this like 5-year-old kid who then,
starts like
goes ahead and finishes the whole thing. So people will be pretty surprised. I think that's one of my favorite parts of the DOSA experience.
Definitely. DOSA is, for those who aren't familiar, is I guess a people say like a savory crepe as like as a description, which I found pretty good. And it's made usually to be very crispy, unless you make them soft or you screw up like many people who aren't good at like me.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think there are, it's almost like different schools of thought. Like some people make and like their dosas nice and fluffy, almost like pancakes. I'd say like half the thickness of pancakes, right? But some people like them really crispy, like me and possibly you. And I think it's a sin to make, you know, like dosas that are not crispy, because if you wanted something fluffy, just make an idli.
Right. You'd make an idli, or you can make an uttapam.
Uttapam, yeah.
Which is another, you know, we have a lot of same fermented lentil and ground rice type dishes. And for, you know, like vegans, I feel like dosas got very popular in like the West, because you know, it is a treat food to me, but it's vegan.
That's right.
And you can fill it with potatoes, or you can dip it in like coconut chutneys, or so one thing I did, and I swear I'm not trying to overplug, but when I was doing my music video for Nidane, I genuinely had never made a dosa from scratch before, and I wanted to like make my music video a challenge, just like in the game. The game hadn't come out, so I kind of was hoping like I'd get the recipe right. But I really screwed up my dosas on camera constantly, and I had to ask my mom like, "What am I doing wrong?" And eventually, she gave me like the perfect peanut chutney recipe, and that's how I knew I'd gotten like the approval. Of sorts, you know, when you WhatsApp.
That's awesome. That was awesome to watch too. I'm so glad that you know, went the extra mile to really make that dosa, because you can tell, and that's kind of the sign of the dosa making too, because the first dosa is never supposed to come out well. Like you always say, you know, it's almost like a sacrifice to the dosa god. is what my mom made it seem like when I would be like, "Mom, you've been making dosas for like years. How come the first one is still bad?" And she'd be like, "No, that's for the stone.
It's the dosa stone." I like it. But it's for people who make like pancake batter, it's, you always like don't know how hot the thing is. So you pour one and then it sticks, and you know, you curse and you throw it out, and then the next one's perfect and you're like, "Oh, right."
That's exactly it.
But growing up, like a lot of the food that I would eat at home, my parents moved in 87. So like we grew up kind of like slowly getting used to eating different foods. So, you know, rice, buttermilk, lemon pickle, you know, easy meals. And then, but when I lived on my own, I had no idea how any of those foods were made. You know, pappu, just like simple vegetables and like okra fries and things. So I ended up noticing like a lot of like North Indian style curries with the cream and things you get at more restaurants seemed easier at the time. And, so I ended up learning how to cook all of those. And then only when Venba came out, I was like, okay, enough is enough. I need to know how to make a dosa. I need to know how to make simple like chutneys and, you know, masalas and things from South India. So going through some of the other questions that I absolutely have to get, a question from Jay, and this one's very interesting. What advice do you have about navigating the game dev and I guess composer space as a minority composer amongst other musicians? Mentioning it can be, you know, demoralizing to encounter, you know, like challenging situations, of course. And, you know, what is that like for you? And, you know, do you have any advice?
I don't know that I have enough experience to be able to give advice. But I can absolutely talk about kind of how I deal with it. And really it's just a matter of like, try not to give people what you think they want, but really give them what you're good at making, right? Because especially being you know, in a position of representing a culture or mm-hmm. or some kind of a minority, you know, space. It may seem like what people want is just like the textbook kind of representation, right? Mm-hmm. And that's some of that I think Venba also talks about. Yes. But for example, it could be that someone's making an Indian game where they want me to be the composer, but they just want everything to sound like a Bollywood track, or mm-hmm. that's the brief I'm being given. I would say, like, as a minority person, like, they wouldn't know that my exposure has been to, like, Tamil music, or, you know, that's not the same as Bollywood or any of that, but mm-hmm. I do know, right? So now it kind of almost becomes my responsibility to be like, hey, I'm probably not the best person to do that, right? Because
right.
I that's not really the same thing. Or I could say, what is it that you're, you know, looking to bring on here, like by mm-hmm. making this kind of like Bollywood soundtrack, right? Like if you want like a slice of real life, then I can mm-hmm. bring that, right? But if you want some kind of a token representation, then that's not really mm-hmm. something that I'll be happy doing, right? I think to understand the difference between representation and a little bit of caricaturization mm-hmm. is important, right?
That is probably my favorite answer I've heard on this podcast because it hits home. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Venba, you also alluded to this, and little spoilers, but the sequence I think that you're speaking very much like around, and maybe it had that same impact on you seeing it written in, is when Kavin grows up and he's in, you know, like he's an adult and he's speaking with a friend of his about like a TV show. And they're in that position that you just described, right? They want something yeah. that surface level would be engaging yeah. to them because of like some sort of exoticism. But, you know, mm-hmm. it feels wrong because it's not really authentic, or, you know, it doesn't feel like something that, you know, takes actual like interest in the culture. And I fear that a lot of like different people of color and so on have experienced that. I definitely have. Like I'm horrible at sitar in the grand scheme of many sitar players, but I own them and I'm trying to learn them. But I have like 16 years of guitar playing, and I've been asked to play sitar like 7-8 times per one guitar playing thing for those reasons. And I've been in those conversations.
Right.
So to hear your take on it is extremely like validating in that. I've tried to navigate exactly as you said, you know, look, I want to know what you're looking for like deeper, because I probably can't deliver what you're looking for. But if you want something, you know, that's human and kind of, you know, nuanced.
Yeah.
But that's a really great question, and very probably common situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate that question because I think it's something everyone deals with.
Mm-hmm. If anything, and this is why, like, I'm going to be looking at 2023 as one of the coolest years in gaming for all the games that I've gotten to play. But Venba's, like, that scene sticks out so much. I mean, a lot of it does. But that scene especially, I think, was the one where I was like, they really get it, though. Like, the writing communicated things that I felt were like almost too niche to expect mm-hmm. in like the second gen experience, let alone the first gen experience.
Now, absolutely.
From Lucas Guimaraes, is any IPs that you'd love to compose for? And I guess I'd tie that to, you know, what's the future like for you composing wise?
I haven't really thought about it in that way, but I guess you know, like, because my favorite character is Batman, I would love to like score for some kind of a Batman related, you know, show or series or a short film or a game or something like that. That would be awesome.
I love that.
But as a composer, I think I'm really just taking it slow. I'm mm-hmm. very choosy about the work that I do. So if something really appeals to me and is able to, I think I'm also kind of spoiled by Venba because it gave me such a wholesome kind of experience that was, you know, also cathartic, and it made my entire experience of like what I grew up listening to and everything make sense. And it made it feel like, oh, this is what it's all been leading up to. Like, it's good that I knew all this, and I'm exactly able to like deliver only something that someone with that experience can deliver, right? So it almost felt very tailor-made for me. So getting that again is going to be difficult for sure.
Sure.
But I'll basically be keeping my eyes and ears open for opportunities that are similar in their emotional depth and the kind of the work that it needs, right?
Yeah. No, that'd be very exciting. Now, I do have to ask, do you have a favorite Batman film and or like comic run or story?
Definitely the Nolan trilogy for sure, just like everyone else almost. Mm-hmm. But the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger and the one
Forever?
With is that
yeah, no, that's Batman and Robin. Forever.
The one with Batman
is that's that Batman Mr. Freeze and, Robin? And
yes,
Mr. Freeze and Poison Ivy in
oh, that's right. Oh my god, that's one of my favorite ones because I remember that's the first one I watched in theaters.
Yeah, it might be mine.
And
as
it was
well.
Kind of like an unplanned movie time with my family. So I was just like mind blown by everything that I saw, and it like it's definitely unforgettable for me.
I love that. I'm like a so-so Batman. I think of all DC comics, I've mostly only read Batman, but I think I've read all of the big ones. The Long Halloween was definitely my favorite so far. And then The Dark Knight Rises was also pretty good. Or Returns. I'm mixing that up because of the movie.
That's right. I also really like Batman of the Future. Do you ever watch that series? It was on Cartoon Network. And it was on a couple of other things, but
is that Batman Beyond? Series. Or
is that Batman Beyond? It was called Batman of the Future. It may be related to Batman Beyond too, but it was like this kind of future Batman.
Yeah, I think internationally they used Batman of the Future, but yeah, it was like him kind of younger and
right.
Yeah, I remember. I liked that one a bit. I didn't get to see it as much as the famous like. Cartoon Network one, of course.
That's right. Yeah.
But yeah, they're exciting, timeless stories. It would be very interesting to see you get to work with Batman IP in some form.
That would be awesome.
I would very much like to see that happen. I've learned so much from this interview. This has been a lot of fun, and we're hitting the time. So I want to, first of all, thank you again for getting to chat with me. I literally get to talk to the composer of like my favorite game of the year. So this has been a treat.
It was amazing.
Thank
you very much. This was amazing. I loved all the questions and really, you know, like it was awesome talking to someone who connected so much with what we're trying to give people, right? So it's so satisfying to see that it worked exactly like we planned.
Absolutely.
And a bit more.
I'm sure, like, if you just check any social media thread about Vemba, it's just people, like, mentioning how much they were crying at different points. Or this is the first video game since I was maybe, like, 8 that I showed my parents. Like, I demanded they actually look at it. And, you know, we were playing the demo together. And my mom and dad, like, both were disagreeing on how to cook the idli properly. Which was
awesome.
It was very fun to see, but like just to know that you broke through the medium is so wonderful. And of course they loved the music. That was the first thing they noticed. And I don't think either of them speak much Tamil. I think my mom might know a little more than my dad, but where can people check out Venba's soundtrack and or keep up to date with your work?
Yeah. So Venba's soundtrack is available on Bandcamp. As well as Steam. It's probably, if you are thinking of getting the game, get the package so you get both the album and the game as a bundle. But yeah, and it's some of the songs are on YouTube. I'm also planning to upload the background score as like one big jukebox on YouTube sometime in the future. Yeah, it's anywhere on the interwebs.
Awesome, awesome. And once again, all the links will be wherever links are on your respective podcast listening service. But again, Venba was a fantastic experience. And of course, just getting to learn how the music was made, taking a lot of nostalgic trips down old South Indian music. And of course, now I'm just really hungry. And I'm going to try this Tandoori Chicken diet for as long as I possibly can.
Let me know how it goes. I'm so excited.
Oh, I love tandoori chicken. It was my favorite growing up. And if anyone's listening, it's basically that glowing red, deliciously grilled chicken dish that you can get at most North Indian restaurants that I've seen. So give that a try if you have not. And thanks, everyone, for listening. This has been Game Grooves Uncovered podcast. I'll see you next time.
Thank you.